Welcome into DC On Screen, your guide to the DC Universe on film and television. I'm your host, David C. Robertson. This is my co-host, Jason Goss.
Howdy.
This is episode 283. It is our weekly DCEU news, where we talk DC film. Beware spoilers. If it has been released through official channels, we are going to discuss it. We're going to get super spoilery on it, as I like to say.
Mm-hmm.
So, jumping right off... Captain Marvel is coming to Blu-ray. The Adventures of Captain Marvel, the Republic Pictures 1941 serial, is going to be released on Blu-ray in early 2017.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure I have that on DVD.
You do. I've borrowed it, and I tried to watch it, but there was just a point where I kind of, like, it's bad. I mean, it's super bad.
Mm-hmm.
My only question is, like, why release it on Blu-ray? Is there some...
I don't know.
...quality?
Maybe.
There?
I'm sure it's going to be in... You know, 1080.
Yeah, maybe. It looked bad enough in regular quality. It's. I mean, it was funny in the way that old things like that are funny. But then there was a point where and now for something completely different effect. Like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Screw you, Scorpion. I don't care.
Yeah. I had a similar, and I watched it over and over as a kid. As an adult watching the 1949 Batman and Robin serial, mm-hmm. I was just like, I don't care who the wizard is anymore. Just, I don't care. I want to think it's not the old man who uses the magic chair to get up and walk around,
yeah.
But I'm pretty sure it's him.
And in this version, you're like, you know what, Batson, just kill everyone. I don't give a shit anymore.
And that's the thing, when I was a kid, I got my mom to buy this VHS from like Kmart or something,
mm-hmm.
that had the first like 14 chapters of this thing, and I watched it over and over again. I didn't have chapter 15, I didn't have like, I think it was just 15 or 16 chapters, but I didn't have I never found out who it was. I have it on DVD, I have both the old Batman serials, 40 serials on DVD. Could not make it to the end, so I still don't know who the wizard is.
Yeah, I will never know who Scorpion is. I give up.
Was that the idea there? Is that you had to find out who he was?
Yeah, for a long time it was just, who could it be? I don't care.
Yeah, and you know what? The saddest part is they're doing that to us. They're stringing us along on the Flash with that same conceit.
Yeah, and they make me care.
And they make us care. Yeah, so there you go. Some pretty exciting news, even though I've got some pretty lackluster response online, but, Warner Brothers looks like they're in talks with Apple TV. There's an idea that we will be able to stream, Warner Brothers movies, and they're talking to a few different studios, Warner Brothers and Fox, but probably some others, about doing a thing where like you'll be able to stream the movie that is coming out the same day in some instances, and sometimes, you know, within 2 weeks of it coming out in the theater, for, you know, a high cost rental, like $25 to $50. And it, you know, sounds high.
That's,
except, you know,
actually,
if you're like a parent,
comparable to pay-per-view pricing.
Yeah. And if you're talking about, you know, taking your entire family out and getting them popcorn, candy, drinks, all that stuff. And someone on Twitter was like, no, it needs to be, Justice League is something we should only see in the theater. I'm like, yeah, but what about crippled people? What about, you know, people with no vehicle? What about, you know, all of these things? Like, there,
yeah, I mean,
actually could be a really good call.
Extremely a personal choice kind of thing. If you want to see the IMAX screen, for God's sake, good for you. If you just would rather sit at home and misanthropically watch these adventures, good for you. I don't care.
Right. And there, you know, if you want to watch it on a small screen, I mean, whatever. But I think
you can make a
screen
great idea. Big very quickly. You just get right up next to it.
Yeah. Right.
I do that on my phone all the time if I'm forced to watch something on my phone. Like, just prop my head on the desk next to it and stare at it very closely.
It's almost like seeing it. You have a big family, it very, very well could be more economic that way.
Yeah. Have a bunch of friends over, pitch in. You're all watching this thing for like $4 a piece.
Yeah. And, I, you know, I have family members who just don't want to go to a movie theater. Like, and I honestly don't like going to a movie theater. Like, I like seeing it on the big screen. I just feel like I should save my money and maybe get a bigger screen because I hate dealing with all the people.
That's
like crying,
that's fair.
Children, you know, people who were like stupid teenagers who were kicking the back of your seat.
No. Yeah. That woman with the Jolly Ranchers like, that one time.
Oh my gosh, dude. Oh my gosh, that woman.
The air conditioner that was like acting up during, like, we watched the Avengers with some, the air conditioner was fucking up on us, and it kept coming on so loudly. There was a unit that was clearly having trouble, and it was on so loud that we couldn't even hear dialogue.
Yeah, no, the thing was, is that movie theater did not have air conditioning, and it was in the middle of the summer, so they had like a huge like unit sitting inside the theater, like at the back door.
Oh, was that
just
it?
Going, raw, raw, raw. It was awful. And they cut off the top of the screen, so like we kept seeing like the top, only we couldn't see like the tops of all the Avengers' heads.
Yeah, that was like, funny. And they spent so much time cutting those people's hair.
Yeah. So anyway, I think this is a great idea. Let's do that.
It is for like everybody except the theaters, who are already kind of having, like, the theaters themselves are kind of having trouble staying in business.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be the big lashback they get out of the industry.
Well, I think, you know, because of the big screen, people are still going to go to the movie theaters, obviously. I think it'll force movie theaters to be more accommodating as far as, like, you know, going a few extra miles on, like, putting in, like, better seating or something, maybe putting in some extra activities. Like, you're gonna wind up seeing like shopping mall movie theaters. It's just like you've got bumper boats in one area, you've got trampoline rooms, you got the arcade.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if in the next 10 years we see big screen movie theaters that are just renting out Netflix showings
easily. The major response I would anticipate is if you can just like rent this movie with your friends to stream at home, mm-hmm. the way I would combat that is by making kind of private theaters that you can rent out for comparable pricing that are just for you and your mm-hmm. friends.
Yeah.
You know, beer, food, the whole thing at the bottom of the theater if you want, before and after kind of service or whatever. But little private theaters. That would be my response to them.
Yeah. Anyway.
And a shit ton of activity.
Uncharted territory here. Personally, I think they should have like a movie theater that's just playing nothing but trailers nonstop.
That actually is not a bad idea. Cool. Like the first theater, instead of like there being theater one and theater whatever it is, depending on your number on like either side of the, you know, you go into a movie theater, there's always like two sides, right? On your left mm-hmm. or on your right. The last one or the first one when you enter, and the last one when you leave is one that just says trailers, and it just constantly airs trailers, mm-hmm. so you can just pop in there for free and see what's about to be airing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Surely that's worth it as far as getting you interested in coming back.
Or, like, you know, for like $4 or $5, have them come, you can just go in and sit in the theater and watch trailers with your friends and make jokes and whatever. I mean, to me, the trailers are the best part of going to any movie. Like, every time I watch the trailers, I never remember what the hell we were going to go see in the first place. So,
really depends on the set of trailers.
It does. But, you know, second of my life was absorbed with this podcast.
Uh-huh.
I used to just sit for a couple hours at a time sometimes watching trailers on YouTube. So, I think it'd be a good idea. So anyway, they released a new poster for the Lego Batman movie. It's got Batman, Batgirl, and Robin with the tagline, "He's taking them under his wing, ... of awesomeness." And they released an extended TV spot. What did you think of this thing, man?
It was funny. I have no expectations of these movies, so when they make me laugh a little bit,
right,
they're exceeding expectation.
I have been already on record as being pretty down on this thing. Mm-hmm. I liked the Lego movie a lot, and I loved Will Arnett's Batman. This has not really done it for me. Not really digging Zach Galifianakis' Joker too much. The jokes are kind of falling flat for me. I don't know. I don't want them to, but they are. And this seemed like a retread of a lot of the jokes we've already seen in the couple of trailers they've put out.
Yeah. No, so, this wasn't... this We're wasn't a lot of new stuff. Like, the newest part was the extended version of the conversation between him and Joker, like at the beginning.
Yeah, so really. It's coming out in February.
I still kind of laugh when I see him swimming with that dolphin.
It's kind of funny, but it's weird.
It's I don't know. It's the kind of thing I expect out of these movies.
Now, what I did enjoy a lot about this spot was him talking about him just like rattling off the B-list villains.
Oh yeah, Condiment King.
Well, he gets into like Calendar Man and
Gentleman Ghost, Condiment King,
Gentleman Ghost, absolutely. And the guy he's talking to is like, "Did you just make some of those up?" And he's like, "Nope, they're real.
All that's real." Yeah,
that was fun. I enjoyed that.
Great,
good.
Great shout out to Condiment King. That's worth it.
I always enjoy seeing Condiment King pop up.
Yeah. Thanks, Danny.
Oh, Batman, how I've relished the thought of this day. Oh, come on.
All the armor in the world won't help you from that pun, Bruce.
Okay. One of our biggest stories for this episode, Justice League 2 has been pushed back, according, who was it? Variety or The Hollywood Reporter? I can't remember. I didn't write it down, but a lot of people are
one of the recognizable names.
Right. But it looks like Justice League 2 is going to be pushed back for the solo Batman movie. Now, this isn't WB saying this. I couldn't find, like, an official statement there. And I think the timing's a little weird. But anyway, it looks like Justice League 2 is going to be pushed back for the Batman. It looks like Zack Snyder is going to be directing a little independent movie called The Last Photograph. He was trying to get it made in the mid-2000s, but the rights lapsed. So it looks like he's going to try to shop it to Warner Brothers, get it made there. And that movie centers on a war correspondent in Afghanistan who is the last survivor in an attack on a group of Americans. And then a special ops soldier looking for a family member shows up, and they team up with the correspondent hoping to score the story of his life. It was originally going to have Christian Bale and Sean Penn in it, but there are no stars now.
Hmm.
Importantly, people are freaking out about this. And Mark Hughes, a contributor over at Forbes, actually, he predicted this a little bit, and or kind of a lot. He put out an article earlier this week, and in the midst of, you know, Flash losing another director, Aquaman being delayed, Mark Hughes did. He's a very much a champion of the DC Extended Universe, and I'll say he's a keen analytical, albeit largely speculative force for rationality,
mm-hmm.
almost unheard of rationality when it comes to the DC films. And he's written this really big article breaking down lots of different factors playing into the WB decision-making to give us like a worst case scenario. His point being that the worst case scenario is not going to be that bad. He talks a lot about the possibility of Wonder Woman being received poorly, Justice League being received poorly. And he's given us a hypothetical worst case list of films. This is an excerpt from the article. I won't give you the whole thing. It's 3 pages long, and I'll put a link in the show notes. Again, this is speculation. He's not an inside man, but he is incredibly smart and knows a lot about all of this stuff. He says, "I'm saying all of this not to scare fans or stir controversy, but instead to make my most important point about all of the rumors and obstacles and stumbles and concerns regarding the future of the DCU. This is probably what a worst case scenario, or sorry, situation would look like, and it still doesn't really look all that bad, does it? Yes, there's more focus on Batman and team-ups, because obviously he makes the point that Warner Brothers would focus on Batman. And yes, we lose a few solo projects in the short term, one of those being The Flash, but we still get most of the projects in some fashion, albeit reimagined and merged in some cases. Look at the hypothetical worst case list again. Wonder Woman, Justice League, followed by The Batman, Aquaman, Suicide Squad 2, Teen Titans, Man of Steel 2, Harley Quinn, Batman 2, Justice League 2. And it honestly does not look like a bad worst case scenario
that,
to me.
If you had pitched me that originally, that's fine.
Yeah, and
I wouldn't have even known to miss The Flash in that one.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of negativity, and we've been negative before on a lot of this stuff.
Sure.
And I feel like, you know, we're honest about how we feel. We're not Pollyannas over here, mm-hmm. but I think what's important is, like, people are being so negative before anything comes out. And it's a lot of the same, you know, oh, well, there are reshoots, that means the movie's in trouble. No, every movie has reshoots.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, they're delaying this movie? Well, every movie probably gets delayed. I mean, you know, when another studio puts something out, they're going to move it around. Not every movie gets delayed, obviously. Some movies just kind of lay there. No one gives a crap. But I'm just saying, you know, none of this is necessarily cause for despair, people. and I don't know. You know, they've got a great Flash TV show. There's no reason to have Ezra Miller's The Flash. And these, and I actually said something on Twitter about this earlier this week. Everyone, all of the fans, all of the audience wants so badly, like, oh, you have to be like Marvel. You got to show us you're going to catch up, WB. Okay, what do you want? We want a rigid list of movies that are coming out over the next 10 years. All right, well, here's a list. All right, then. And then, but we want you to be flexible enough to change it if we don't like some of these movies that are coming out. Okay. And then they change it, and they're like, wait, why are you changing stuff?
I thought you were being rigid, because you were confident. Yeah. No.
Like, oh, no, the DCEU's in trouble. Well, yeah, but, you know, lots of people have said that MCU is in trouble. Like, Ant-Man didn't perform as well. It's Ant-Man.
Ant-Man got a sequel. They got a spinoff, for fuck's sake.
But at the time, they're like, Edgar Wright left. The MCU is
over. We're all
over.
Doomed. No. We weren't doomed.
You know, it's just WB hasn't earned the same amount of clout. They haven't earned the same amount of trust.
They have no one's trust, and that absolutely includes us.
Yeah, no. They don't have my trust.
I don't trust them as far as I can throw a stick, man.
I, you know, somewhat trust Marvel. I trust Marvel to do the things that it does really well, really well. And the things that it doesn't do well. The things that it doesn't do well, like villains.
Right.
I'm going to be like, hey, they're not going to do that well.
Aren't you kind of super worried that we're all going to get to the end of the Marvel run, like get to Infinity War and just kind of go, yeah, Thanos was kind of bullshit, right? And just be anticlimactic.
I'm assuming this was going to happen because I haven't seen anything that makes me think Thanos is going to be anything interesting.
Yeah.
And for me personally, if this DCEU doesn't end with Crisis on Infinite Earths, I want to be pissed.
Fuck the world. I don't care.
But, you know, then again, I said, you know, this is coming from someone, and I changed my mind, and I see execution, and I decide differently sometimes. Like we both said, the first time Batman kills in Batman v Superman, we were out. We were leaving the theater. We were going to have a beer and cry. We're on record. We're on tape. Well, not tape, but we're on digital saying this. We watched Batman slaughter like 41 people with big smiles on our faces. Mm-hmm. So, you know, take that for what you will. I don't know. But
as I'm watching, I'm going like, yep, all of these people shot first. Not one Han in the group.
Mark Hughes, good guy. Go check out his article. It's called Flash Loses Director and Aquaman Delayed, How the DCU May Respond. That's on Forbes. And follow the guy on Twitter. He always puts out, like, he was just at the big Star Wars premiere that they did, taking pictures with lots of celebrities, including Kevin Smith.
Nice.
Which was kind of a funny picture. Kevin Smith has, like, one face for pictures, and it's just, like, just this face that's brimming with, like, super enthusiasm.
Oh, it's that or he looks terrified.
A little bit of both, I think. But, yeah, a very well thought out article. I probably didn't do it justice. No pun intended, honestly.
Well, and, you tried.
I know.
I can sum up how they're going to respond, though, I feel like, pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
To whatever ailments come in the future, to however things are received, they're going to respond by continuing to make at least $700 million a movie. I mean, it's so bad.
Maybe not. You don't know. You don't know that. I'm looking at Aquaman. I don't know about 800.
Oh.
At
700. But then again, I'd still like lowball it at 6.
Yeah. I mean, what the hell do I know? What the hell do any of you know?
We've proven we know very little. But...
I mean, if what you had to told know? Me, if you had told me that, you know, Batman v Superman and Suicide Squad were both going to be at like 26% on Rotten Tomatoes and we're both going to get that damn close to $1 billion worldwide, I would have been like, are you, how, what? What? Because honestly, like, I thought either Batman v Superman is going to be the most amazing movie I've ever seen and it's going to make $2 billion, or it's going to be like the worst piece of shit I've ever seen, and it's going to make like 400 worldwide and shock everybody.
And instead, and it's just
destroy everything.
Went right in the middle and made a ton of money, and no one apparently liked it. Being very facetious about that last part. Many people liked it.
Yeah, well, you know, the narrative, the overwhelming narrative is that
in the press.
It sucked and it was awful. And, yeah, clickbait and
it's a lot of like, why does Zack Snyder hate my childhood? I'm not saying that's not true. I actually have on occasion speculated that he may be the world's greatest troll. But, you know, I mean, a lot of people still like this movie. I still enjoyed the movie.
You know what? I rest firmly on the fence. And I'm pretty sure there's a post in my ass and I can't get it off.
That's about the only way to. The fence isn't supposed to be a place where someone is comfortable.
No. I feel for Zack Snyder. I feel for David Ayer. Then again, kind of dicks. I don't know. I like Zack Snyder films. I do.
I know.
I enjoy them. I know. They're pretty. I think they do have a lot more depth than anybody gives them credit for. Same time, think they could be better. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. As much as we liked it, there's some major adjustments I would have made.
Mm-hmm. So more trolling of Armie Hammer. On Instagram, a friend of Armie's, Nikki Wonder, wrote in the comments, "I can't wait to see you in Green Lantern." Joe Manganiello.
That's just mean.
The DCEU Deadshot. Not Deadshot, Deathstroke. Ugh, Deathstroke. Forget I said Deadshot. I'm just a man.
I know.
So Joe Manganiello has decided to start trolling us as well. He posted pictures of himself and Armie Hammer looking at a tablet, even though we can't see what's on the tablet, with the caption, "Burning the Midnight Oil." Armie posted the same picture with the caption that said, "Men at Work," and then a picture of them with their wives. I don't know what's going on, but speaking of people that have been followed by Jeff Johns, Shad Gaspard, I guess that's how you say the name, I don't know, but he is a former WWE and ECW wrestler. I say wrestler because I don't really think it's real. Dude is like 6'7", 285 pounds.
He big.
Big dude. He's known for being on the series From Dusk Till Dawn, the show, and he's going to be in the upcoming Officer Down. Lots of people are saying, like, oh, man, he's going to be Bronze Tiger. Some people are suggesting he might be the mutant leader from Frank Miller's Dark Knight Returns. Everyone thinks, like, oh, man, he looks so mean. He's probably going to be a villain. I looked at him and thought Jon Stewart.
Yeah, I saw a few people think Jon Stewart. And one guy actually said, he's giant. Just make him Grundy. I was like, yeah, you may not find someone big enough to play Grundy without him. That could do.
Solomon Grundy wrestling on a Monday.
Right. That is when they used to do it.
Mm-hmm. Do you see the Zack Snyder Star Wars mashup?
I did. I wonder how many people actually orgasmed when they saw Batman with a lightsaber.
Not me.
Even with it being the red.
Yeah, well, he's got to be the dark side, man.
He was a yellow lantern. Shit. Hell, you expect something happen.
Yeah, so Zack Snyder, he did a mashup of the Batman v Superman trailer, and he did like a Star Wars mashup. It's called Dark Side Knight v Super Jedi. It was released on Vero, which is Vero True Social Media. It's a new social media platform. Not a huge amount of people are on it. It's right now it's only on Android. I am on it. So I could keep up with what Clay Enos and Zack Snyder are doing, because that's where they release everything first. And I've thrown up a couple of pictures that I photogged, so I don't know.
I would like that to
follow me.
I would like that word to take over Photoshop. I'm just bored with it. And it's an Android-only release. Surely Photoshop is not the right word here.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just I can't remember all the special things about it. It's hard as hell to invite anybody for real. Like to get, it's just annoying. Yeah. It's one of those, like, if you try to invite people to it, it would just be annoying. They'd be like, what the hell is this? I don't know what this
is. This is like the Google Plus effect.
Yeah. But it's like, this thing has no ads.
What the hell is a circle?
And, you know, it has like no ads. It has, some kind of thing that Clay Enos is always talking about. I don't know. I don't keep up. I don't care if there are ads, honestly. But just it's a new social media, so I'm there. Whatever. I'm there begrudgingly. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's only so many social media outlets that I can become a part of before you, I just go, enough! But yeah, yeah, I thought it was a cool mashup trailer. The Riddler question mark on that pillar was replaced with a Rebel Alliance symbol. Batman with the lightsaber was awesome. The false Jedi thing. Batwing is a TIE fighter. The Death Star and the Star Destroyer above the statue. I liked all that stuff. It was cool. I'm not a big Star Wars fan, though, so.
Yeah, I'm not.
I didn't get all nutsy over it.
Yeah, I mean, I like it, but I've never gotten obsessed in any kind of way that would resemble the average Star Wars fan. And it was a neat mashup, but
it was
especially the going full throttle with the stormtroopers there in the like bunker scene.
Mm-hmm. So, Honest Trailers released an Honest Trailer for Suicide Squad.
Yeah,
you sound sad.
I'm always sad, especially like when he does one for a movie that I like. I'm like, oh man. I mean, I knew about some of that. And there's always like a couple things he says where I think, shit, he's right. I should have caught that.
Yeah, I wrote down a couple of my favorite lines. They're high on attitude, but dangerously low on relevant skills.
Yeah.
I didn't do all of them, but
like the crocodile who's half crocodile and half stereotype.
Absolutely. A guy who shoots fire, but won't.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe my favorite, one chicken chomping exposition machine who blurts out whatever the plot needs him to.
Yeah, that one was seriously good.
No, this one's my favorite. Some Steven Seagal looking ass rope dork.
that was good.
I also loved watch Cara Delevingne make the jump from modeling to acting like the wavy inflatable arm things outside of car dealerships.
Yeah. Even in the theater, that kind of reminded me of that.
They actually did. They kind of, I think, aced the description for Jared Leto's Joker, a performance that combines James Franco's character in Spring Breakers with Ace Ventura and a cat, I think.
I swear to God, my first thought when they were doing that was, oh, Dave's going to love that.
And get ready for a film that loves exposition almost as much as it hates helicopters.
And the shots of him throwing like four helicopters at the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did enjoy their referring to Incubus as
Lawnmower Man.
Olmec from
Legend of Tomorrow. Yeah, and I think they called him Lawnmower Man later, but Olmec from the Legends of the Hidden Temple made me laugh pretty damn hard. Yeah, that's going to be a movie, by the way.
I know. It's going to be a made-for-TV movie, so.
Still. Fucked up.
Yeah, I know. It's weird.
I discovered recently that like a lot of the kids that were on that show still have PTSD. Like, for real, still have problems. Well, not only are they like full grown adults in costume jumping out at you, but they made you do it for like 12 hours. Like there's footage that will never be available again of like kids throwing up out of hunger and fear in one of the pits.
Right. Oh God.
Like they worked those kids to the bone when they came on the show.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I know. I always wanted to be on it when I was a kid, but I'm, you know, super happy that didn't happen now.
I always wanted to be on Nick Arcade.
I didn't know Nick Arcade. Which one? What was that?
I don't know. They had like a wall of video games, like arcade machines, and they all had to like play the machines, and whoever got the highest score got to progress to things, and I don't remember all the details.
I remember that one.
But at the end, they had to go in, like whoever the winner was had to like go into what was very obviously a green screen and run around and do stuff like they were in a video game. And I just, as a kid, I was just like, how do they do that?
I don't remember that one, but that does sound pretty cool.
It was totally a 16-bit video game.
It's got to be basically the same technology as a weatherman.
Mm-hmm.
I would think. But we'll get off this after this, I suppose. But it was Double Dare. I wanted to be on Legends and Double Dare.
Yeah. I didn't want Double Dare because I never liked the idea of getting that slimy.
I was like there are showers. Like screw it. This will be fun. I think I could win. Let's do it.
Look like that would be unpleasant.
It does, but you know, shower.
Almost as unpleasant as Nickelodeon guts. Like I would see kids do this and just be like, oh man, that looks awful. There's so much physical activity involved. And then they have to find a place to put that stupid crag if they win. Ugh.
Yeah. Screw it all.
Anyway.
Fuck childhood.
So Will Smith was talking about why he chose Suicide Squad over Independence Day 2. He said, I had the two screenplays in front of me for the Independence Day 2 and for Suicide Squad. I had to choose between the two of those. Even the choice of going to Suicide Squad, nothing about the qualities of the movie, but the choice of trying to go forward versus clinging and clawing backwards. I do want to aggressively go forward and do new things and create and hopefully be able to stumble upon a new heyday. And I'm not even shitting you. Like, directly after that, he announced, I think it's even the same thing, that he saw Martin Lawrence and they hugged and knew they were going to have to do Bad Boys 3. Like, I have to go forward. Bad Boys 3! Wait, what?
Well, maybe he's just still thinking he can, like, sneak Bad Boys 3 into his schedule. But faced with the choice, he was like, yes, I'll do the thing that's called an extended universe rather than, you know, another Independence Day film.
Yeah, I think he's being kind. I think it probably had a lot more to do with the fact that Independence Day looks like shit.
I don't know. I've seen a few of those trailers.
Yeah.
I'm not opposed to it.
I just keep seeing that tagline that said we had 20 years to prepare, and I'm like, yeah, does it look
so
awful?
So why the hell?
Anyway.
I think there's a part of my fuck childhood and all, but there's a part of me that just kind of wants to see that movie, damn it. It's the same part that saw Jurassic World. I didn't think it looked spectacular, but I was like, yeah, Chris Pratt's fun. I'll see it. And then I left thinking, yeah, Chris Pratt was fun. That movie was crap.
Yeah. So two new featurettes have been released for the Suicide Squad extended cut. One of them is just talking a little bit about Harley Quinn. And there's just clips. It's like 2 or 3 minute clips. And then one of them's talking about the props. I thought it was really neat. Will Smith had real props, like real guns on his... on his wrist. Those were real, like, guns. They shot blanks.
But still, that's awesome.
A couple of comments about, like, yeah, they would fire real bullets if someone were stupid enough to put them in there.
That's cool. It's got to get into character, though, to actually be able to shoot fucking, even blanks. It, like, actually be able to feel that, like, recoil on your wrist. That's got to help you get in.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, they kind of went into a little bit of showing some of Joker's guns and his weapons and stuff. And I cannot get over the idea of, like, one, who's custom making all this stuff for Joker? Two, in my head, Joker wouldn't care about those things. Like, you know, like, he would just use a normal machine gun, but he would, you know, spend most of his money on giant traps that look like clown things. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm still just not opposed to the idea that he kind of likes to personalize things. Because he personalizes himself so uniquely. I don't have a problem with him like wanting a gun that he thinks has a lot of jokes in it and has a lot of flavor. And as far as like how getting it done, you know, it's Gotham. You got how many people that are, you know, machinists, hobby machinists that could get a gun done for you?
Yeah.
Plenty.
Sure, I guess. It's just, you know... I don't know. I tend to think
there's a lot of times where like you're okay with something, and it almost flattens your voice when you talk about it because you're like, yeah, I mean, no, I'm not opposed to it, but like nothing about it excites you.
Yeah, no, it's I am such a fan of the idea that Joker and Batman, like their relationship is so heavily just Joker escaping from Arkham, Batman stopping him, putting him right back in, like revolving door. Like I kind of feel like there should be more of a mad dash with Joker to like just, you know, we don't have time to custom make all these stupid things. I want this and this and this for this heist. That's what I'm going to screw with Batman with. I don't need my Tommy guns to look like they were gold and pink. I need this done. Like, I don't know if that makes any sense. What did the Honest Trailers call him? A manorexic juggalo? I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't. I'm finding it hard to get behind it. I kind of want to see more and kind of don't.
I don't have a problem with his concept as a villain, as a person, is kind of going the extra mile for an inside joke. So when he lays out these extraordinary plans, I'm good with it. But like that, he's devoted his entire life to some stupid fucking extraordinary plan that's just meant to fuck with people. Like when Batman does it, we think, "Oh my god, what an apex of human achievement!" And then when he does it just for a joke, we're like, "That seems like too much effort." To me, that seems like an appropriate amount of effort. By the way, I'd forgotten about it until I was talking, but maybe the best description later. They showed his Joker, his Heath Lesser.
Uh huh.
I didn't necessarily agree, but it sure made me laugh.
It was funny.
It was good.
not as great as Steven Seagal looking whatever that was.
Dorky rope motherfucker or some shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It was Steven Seagal looking ass rope dork.
I would have probably labeled him rope guy. That wasn't worth an intro.
Yeah. All right. Moving on. Suicide Squad soundtrack has been nominated for 5 Grammy Awards. It was the only 2016 movie soundtrack to go gold this year.
That's something.
That means sold over 500,000 copies. We've talked about that before. Where it got nominated, Best Compilation Soundtrack for Visual Media, Best Song Written for Visual Media, Heathens and Purple Lamborghini. They're going up against each other there.
I thought Heathens would best come rock, in there.
Yeah, that was a good song.
It's a good song.
Best Rock Performance, Heathens. Best Rock Song, Heathens. So good on you, 21 Pilots, because you just...
Cleaned the
kind of killed
frurry
it.
Up.
There's a new Clay Enos released a new picture of Harley on her motorcycle next to Joker's purple Lamborghini against a green screen. Clearly, they were just sitting still the entire time. Movie magic, guys.
Yay!
He did release that on Vero, so again, a reason to go and check that out is you get to follow Clay Enos, and he puts up really cool pictures. And he put up one earlier. It was like a cathedral. It was gorgeous. And he had like the tag, you know, hashtag iPhone only. And I was like, horseshit. That is beautiful.
iPhones do take pretty great pictures, man.
They do.
I'm an Android guy, but every now and then someone wants a picture taken. I'm like, well, let me borrow your phone. Why? Because it takes better. Do you want a good picture or not? Let me borrow your iPhone.
Right. Patty Jenkins wrote a very cool article, I believe it was Hollywood Reporter, on how to make a female heroine vulnerable but not lesser in any way. And it's a very short thing. And I'm just going to read it because I think it's really cool and gives us a lot of cool insight into where she's going with Wonder Woman. She says, I met with Warner Brothers right after I made Monster. More than 10 years ago, and I said, I want to make Wonder Woman. More than 10 years ago, man.
That's awesome.
I've always been moved by the idea of movies that are personal, but still have a huge reach. Superman had that effect on me when I was a kid. It rocked my world.
Still awesome.
That kind of movie, yeah. That kind of movie was always the brass ring of what I wanted to do with my career. Because of my love of Wonder Woman and the genre, I felt this project was absolutely the right thing for me to do. Though I definitely knew what I was taking on. That there's a huge amount of responsibility that comes with it. I knew just making a movie about Wonder Woman for the first time was going to matter to people, and what I was stepping into with that. When I'm asked if I feel additional pressure because I'm a filmmaker who is female, I say that I think it's important, but there's really nothing you can do about it. Every step of my career has been that way. Every project is something no one has done before, male or female. The pressure is always high, and I'm always doing it as a woman. So I think you just have to learn to mute it out and just be a great director and give everything you can. Our film really draws from the original 1940s Wonder Woman comic book by William Moulton Marston. The goal was to tap into what always spoke to me about her, to honor who she was, her legacy, and to make her as universal as she was to all of us little girls who ran around pretending to be Linda Carter when we were kids. Wonder Woman is the grand universal female hero who didn't have to be lesser in any way. She wasn't less powerful. She wasn't less of a woman. She's as beautiful as any woman and as strong as any man. That, to me, is so enduring. There have been so few female characters like that, who weren't small, niche characters or sidekicks. She's a full-blown superhero who lives up to all of your dreams in every way. It also was important to me to make sure she was as vulnerable, loving, and warm as she should be. It's important for her to be multidimensional. It's been incredible to make something about a superhero that stands for a message of fighting for a loving, thoughtful government, especially in this current climate. It's been a special process to make something with the beautiful message that it's difficult to be a hero and stay kind and thoughtful in everything that you do. There's going to be a lot of conversation about her being a woman in these times, but I think the greatest part about the character is that she's so much bigger than all of that. That made me feel so much, I don't know, positivity for this Wonder Woman movie.
We weren't feeling bad about it anyway.
No.
The trailer looked pretty great.
I've been pretty much downright angry and defensive from all the people going, oh, it just looks like Captain America. Remind me how it's not Captain America. Because it's not Captain America, dick.
Sorry. It's just not. Deal with it.
So anyway.
Yeah.
I'll put up a link to the actual original article so you can read it, go back over it without my stupid voice in your head. On to Aquaman. Edgar Wright has been talking to James Wan on Twitter.
Excellent.
Actually, one fan asked Edgar Wright ever consider joining the DCEU, and Edgar Wright said, "I'm pretty sure our country just voted to leave." I love that man.
I do. You know the movie I'd like to see him to actually take on?
What's that?
And it's not out there. I mean, don't get me wrong, I would love to see him take on The Flash. I just think that would be a great amalgam. But like a Blue Beetle Booster Gold movie with Edgar Wright at the helm?
Oh, shut up. This hurts. It just hurts not having that.
Doesn't it?
So anyway, he was joking around with James Wan. And James Wan said that he was working on getting a Dawson's Creek reference into Aquaman. Then he wrote, joking, or maybe not. And Edgar Wright said, you need to get Stingray or this song into Aquaman. It's the opening and closing theme for the old 1964-65 Stingray series with the puppets and underwater.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's so awful.
Mm-hmm.
yeah. And Patrick Wilson is going to be Ocean Master, they've just said. And he did the voice of the President of the United States on Batman v Superman. So that might be a little weird, but he's going to be Aquaman's half-brother.
Yeah, I mean, don't make a backstory for that. Just let it slide, guys. It'd be reaching, it'd be stupid. It's just a disembodied voice, no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to see this guy, you know, take on a villain role in Aquaman, which is kind of exciting. I like that guy.
Yeah. He was a Night Owl on Watchmen.
Which is enough for me.
He was in Insidious and The Conjuring, so he's already, you know, he's been digging working with
Fargo.
James Wan, apparently. So, yeah, that would just Orm the Ocean Master. God, I just, who knew? Like, sometimes I just, like, thrill at the notion that we're going to get something like that.
It really is just all the time where, like, we're talking about something, I kind of think, God, I wouldn't have, like, 10 years ago, you couldn't have convinced me.
Yeah, it's wild, man.
Right.
So Joe Manganiello he is a huge Pittsburgh Steelers fan. He was on the Rich Eisen show, and they mostly talked sports, but at the very end of the interview, they kind of asked if they could, ask him some questions about the Batman, or about his upcoming movie. And he said, it's about Gotham, and this guy dresses up like a bat. I play the world's deadliest assassin, who also has one eye.
Of course.
We will start at some point this year, it looks like, which means within the month. But as a couple of people have already reminded us, Randall Smith sent it to us, as well as Trayvon Brady, T_Brady94 on Twitter, sent us links to a brand new interview with the New York Times that Ben Affleck gave. And he says he's not in a hurry to make Batman. He says, "We still have to get a screenplay and get it together. I'm a real believer in not reverse engineering projects to meet a window or a date, but rather when you get the right story, the right idea, the right thing, then you make the movie. That's what we're doing, and I'm hoping to get that done. I'm spending a lot of time working on that, but also working on other stuff. If I could, there's nothing I'd love more than to direct a standalone, iconic, great Batman movie. But it's been done. Chris Nolan did 3 really great movies. I'm really mindful of that. I'm not in any hurry to jam the mediocre movie down the pipe. I really want to make sure, if we do it, we get the great version and one that's worthy of tradition of guys like Tim Burton, Chris Nolan, and Christian Bale." This isn't really any different than anything we've been hearing him say.
No, and I'm at this point, all right, he's been saying, "Hey, I'm not necessarily doing this for, God, how long now? Like 9 months?"
But everybody else seems to be saying it's happening like really soon.
And I'm almost starting to think that this is like his version of holding out. Like this is his version of protest, where especially the comment about reverse engineering. Like this is what we want to be in this film. This is what we want to incorporate. And I feel like he's almost holding out, going, "Look, I can make this a good movie. You like my Batfleck was well received. You know damn well I can make a movie. If you want me to make this great for you, you will do it my fucking way. Or I will sit here in interviews all day and say that it may or may not be happening, and we'll see." And if that's what he's doing a great fucking job of like making it sound like it's somebody else's fault that this isn't already happening.
Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, it's...
Maybe he is Bruce Wayne.
That's what it seems like. That's just, it just, it's weird that every, like, Joe Manganiello keeps going, like, yeah, I mean, it's happening this spring. Yeah, it's happening this month. It's happening. And Batman, I mean, I almost called him Batman. I almost called him Bruce Wayne.
See, that's the power he has to actually will to go to WB and say, no, we're going to do this right.
So we got Batman over here telling us, no, this shit's not happening yet. Calm the hell down. Anyway.
I'm digging that. So, that's because, I mean, that's how that plays to me, is he's just holding out saying, I'll commit to it when you say I can do it correctly.
Mm-hmm. So Tom Holland, you know who that cat is, right?
Remind me.
That's the new Spider-Man.
I thought so, but it was a DC podcast, so I was like, I've got to have this wrong. Go ahead.
So Spider-Man Homecoming star Tom Holland.
By the way, that trailer's fantastic.
That new trailer looks so great. Did we just do the same thing?
I almost cried. I was like, oh my God, they got him right. It looks
fantastic.
After all this time.
So good. So good.
I haven't, like, I anyway. Watched that with my wife and kind of leaned over and was like, so are we seeing that? Yep. She does not see a lot of these willingly with me.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. I wound up had a chance to show the trailer to my mom. My mom is the one who took me to the Michael Keaton Batman movie back in the day. For my sixth birthday party, or sixth birthday, it wasn't my party, but, so like I went to show her to her. She's like, hey, you know, I don't like Spider-Man. And I'm like, I know, but trust me.
Try this.
She sees Robert Downey Jr. She's like, oh yeah. All right. I watched her eyes light up. Like they became saucers when Michael Keaton showed up. She's like, yep. All right. Here we go. Yeah, that's what's happening. So, yeah, but anyway, Holland was doing a Facebook
Live Q&A. Something
DC
related.
Right. I was just talking about Batman, too. And he was talking about his friend, Harrison, who's a huge Batman fan. He's talking about Harrison. He says, and Harrison was like, so you think you could beat up Ben Affleck? And I'm like, nah, probably no. You know, probably not. That guy's big. I'd probably throw a quick jab in there. I probably couldn't even reach him, you know. I mean, what? He's like 6'4"? He's tall. He's a tall guy. But he says, I'm a big fan of Ben's. Though I'm really excited for the new movie, man. It's going to be awesome. So even Tom Holland, who does believe that Spider-Man could fight and defeat Batman, he's a little misguided, but even Tom Holland, Spider-Man himself, is digging on Ben Affleck. Just the idea, because we haven't seen anything.
Yeah.
So just the idea of Ben Affleck being Batman in a solo project has got that kid
it
jazzed.
It keeps adding to his power as the person saying, yep, look at all these people that want this. Let me do it correctly.
Speaking of things that I want, James Gunn, you know, I'm assuming you've seen the
Guardians
of the Galaxy 2 trailer. It's amazing. Yep. This new trailer looks amazing. And he's been talking to some people. Like he was doing, I think it was Facebook Live or something. But anyway, it was Facebook Live, and someone asked him if he would be willing to do Shazam, because, you know, a few months ago he talked about doing Shazam. He'd love to do Shazam. He says, I definitely love Shazam. I think it's a great project. I was actually at a party talking with a producer of Shazam last night and telling him what a great project that movie could potentially be.
Okay.
He also said that
Please.
He talked to James Wan. Yeah. He said he also talked to James Wan. He said, I talked to my friend James Wan last night about Aquaman, which I'm very excited about. James and I have been friends for a long time, and he got me really excited. I'm really excited for him and what he is doing with that movie. Some good stuff happening over at DC. That's James Gunn, the director of the trailer that is like the number two most viewed trailer of all time. Director of Guardians of the Galaxy.
I helped.
So, like,
I definitely helped that.
And I helped
a few times. Yeah.
I am Groot. I am Groot. I am Groot. No. But
not much of a hugger.
I would love for James Gunn. If we could just start, if we could just grab James Gunn and Edgar Wright into the DCEU, I would be so happy.
That would truly warm my heart. Yeah. Oh God, what if Gunn got to do like the Teen Titans?
Man, shit. You always have these great ideas that make me just hurt inside because I know we might not see that.
I have
like,
these deep fantasies that will never come to fruition. But, oh my God, he could do the shit out of a Teen Titans movie.
He could. I really want to see that now.
It would basically be Guardians of the Galaxy 1. Like, you'd put Nightwing in charge of it, and he's trying to figure out how to lead a team, and he finally figures it out. He's done this movie before.
I mean, he also wants to do Swamp Thing. So,
fuck me.
He wants to do a lot of different things. I would love to see him do an Adam Strange movie, too. I know I'm like, I've been harping on Adam Strange a lot lately.
You just love to see anyone do an Adam Strange movie.
I kind of do. And I, for whatever reason, really want Matthew McConaughey to be Adam Strange.
Oh, that would be fun, though.
Have we talked about that before?
I'm not sure, but that would be good. I would back you. I would back you on that.
I think we've got a couple of fans, a couple of listeners who are going to send me a link sometime this week and be like, hey, look at this episode of DC on Screen where Jason was like, hey, Dave, you know who would be a great Adam Strange? Matthew McConaughey. And then I'm going to be like, oh, no, that hurts. Why would that so good? I feel like that's going to happen.
I want to say I pitched Matthew McConaughey as Jonah Hex.
Oh, that would be good.
It's been a while.
Anyway, that's our DC. That's our DCEU news. That's our film news for this week. We're going to do a TV news episode coming up. But before we get to that, we do have a new review on iTunes. And we haven't said no, so we're going to let this one slide. But this person has reviewed before, and I knew I recognized that name. And I had to look back and went, yeah, what was that?
Wait a second. Come on.
But we have never said no. We are saying no now. After this, we're done on that. After this, you cannot enter twice. You're free to go and give us more reviews. Those are very welcome. I don't even know if this like replaced the old one. I don't know how that works, but you'll be entered into this giveaway.
That's kind of the reason it's a no, is we literally don't know how that works and on like a technology level.
Yeah.
So,
but this time, but we'll allow.
Good
it.
For you for gaming the system. Respect.
So, addicting 101010110101010 says, a great podcast for DC lovers. As a fan of all cinematic comic properties, DC and Marvel, sue me. This is a great podcast for DC in general, comic lovers alike. Great commentary on all properties and very fair and positive in their reviews, especially when they're being critical. Keep up the great work, guys. Thank you very much. Very kind words. I did go back and check. Not the same thing they wrote before. So, you know, I'm glad they felt more love for us and wanted to come back and share it. Like I said, the giveaway, you were addicting binary.
Addicting binary, yeah.
Addicting binary, you will be entered into giveaway.
Absolutely.
Number 3. So there will be one more. We have one more review, 5-star review, that needs to come in to enter into giveaway number 3, and we'll pick one out of those 10. After this giveaway, though, after this week, as of you hearing me say this coming out of my mouth, and this is recorded, so you can't do anything about it, coming back for a second helping of review will not get you into the giveaway. This is a one-time thing.
It will get you into our hearts.
And there's all sorts of stuff in our hearts. Polish sausages.
So you don't necessarily want to be there, but...
Lots of clogged arteries.
Right.
But, I mean, you know, who has time for exercise when we have 6 shows to watch?
Goddamn straight.
So, yeah. Anyway.
And counting.
If you don't know what the giveaway is, yeah, and counting. If you don't know what the giveaway is, it is you will get a free trade paperback, Blu-ray or DVD of your choice, valued at $15 or less. 1 in 10 reviews will win. We do it through a random number generator on random.org. And we've had 2 giveaways. Actually, we just got a picture. Our last giveaway winner, he actually lived, Brazil maybe? He had to send it to his uncle in the States, and he finally got his copy of Hush. So I need to put that up on the Facebook page.
Awesome. That sounds convoluted as fuck, but glad that worked out.
Yeah.
And dang,
that was his request. That was his request as far as, you know, where we sent it, you know.
It's easier sometimes.
Anyway, yeah. That's going to do it for our DC film news episode. We are DC on Screen. You can find every episode at dconscreen.com. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. As far as social media is concerned, you can find us on iTunes. No, not iTunes. Sorry. Twitter and Facebook. I'm tired, y'all. I'm so tired. Twitter, Facebook, We're on Vero now. Instagram. We're everywhere. So that's it. Until the DC TV news episode, keep some DC on your screens.